Hello. No, Katie, I was saying I don't want to steal your pen. Usually there's pens in front of me, and there isn't. So I was pointing over to the cup. All right, thank you. Wow, Katie has good pens.
I stole that from a hotel.
Yeah, wow. Looks like you did. Fancy.
So drive.
Hey.
Dave, Katie, and Nate. Katie, are you... I was trying to think. What the Kings' final game is what, in L.A.?
Yeah.
Against Eclipse?
Tomorrow.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yes, really.
So we'll miss you tomorrow.
Tomorrow, and then I'll be back on Thursday.
Are you studioed up?
Studioed up.
Okay,
are
so...
Are we sure about that?
Yeah, I've got it all confirmed and in my email.
All right. So really, tomorrow's last. That's it as far as you traveling.
I know.
I mean, you're gone like next week, right?
I'm taking next week off. Yeah.
So it never ends. You're
all
always
next
doing something, right? All in next week, Nate.
I'm sorry, you guys.
You
I'm
and me, buddy.
Feeling like I need a vacation after this season?
I guess. I mean, what are you going to do? You got to do what you got to do, right?
I really wanted to take Thursday off, but I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good.
Nate, are you going to be here?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, I'll be here all next week.
Hey, we'll good have fun year. Then.
Hey, what?
Don't start nothing.
We'll just have
Won't
fun.
Won't be nothing.
Okay? You're starting it.
No.
I ain't doing anything.
Oh, they didn't over do there. Anything.
Oh, really?
I did. Oh, don't get... I was almost a get on me, but I...
Do it.
You know, didn't mean that. Welcome in. 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. It is 6:04. Time to save money on Shell gasoline. Text the word Dave to 83835. Now, save 25 cents a gallon off your second fill-up. I don't know if it's an ex-athlete thing or not, but I was snickering on the way in listening to Gio and Jones. You know, in radio, it's like if you get, like, my wife and a bunch of her girlfriends in the same room. I don't know if it's just her and her friends or if it's just, in general, those crowds. And by that, I mean, you know, people with long hair.
Mm-hmm.
Where
hippies.
You make it a point just to absolutely kill people when they're not around. You know, like, how much they bother you. And I think in radio, it's the same thing. Like, Most radio people hate every show but theirs, or will find a way. And I actually kind of like Gio and Jones. I really do.
I wouldn't draw the line there either.
Really?
Well,
you just think they hate every show?
Yeah.
Even their own?
Why okay. Limit yourself?
No, you're right. No, you're 100% right. That show sucked. We're horrible. We're getting fired. So I like Gio and Jones. I really do. And listen, I'm not lying. If I didn't like Gio and Jones, I probably wouldn't say it. But mm-hmm. I wouldn't go out of my way to say I enjoy
that you do,
them.
Right. That you do like them.
And I like the banter. And Brian Jones is the ex-athlete guy. And Gio kind of runs the show and does the thing. And I heard...
Brian comes on our show every now and again.
Yeah. Good guy.
He's fun times.
I mean, maybe he's a horrible guy. I don't know. But good guy to us. So they were talking about something today. They were on some subject, and then Brian Jones goes, Gio said something like, yeah, that's amazing. You know, I think they were talking about United or something. It was something like that. And then Brian, that's him.
From our show.
And he goes like, you know what else is amazing? And then I heard like silence, and I hear this. And I know that, and I've realized it's Gio like dropping his hand on the desk.
But you thought it was something else dropping on the desk.
No.
Oh.
No, but it took me a second, but I know exactly what happened.
You know it's amazing.
They're having this conversation about a topic, and the topic, the arc was ending, and then Brian Jones goes, you know what else is amazing, just out of the blue. So what Brian was doing is he was throwing out a bone to Gio to transfer topics over to Jerry West was amazing once upon a time. And, man, this logo thing.
Oh, no.
And it made me kind of snicker because Katie
because
will do
of
that.
Because
Katie's like the queen of transitions. And it's good because she'll
kick
my ass.
I think it's like as a former athlete, here's my thing.
Yes, explain it to us.
Right there.
No, here's my thing.
No,
I think we're all very regimented people.
Yes.
And so when I
unlike us
when
sloppy
I get
bastards.
This when I get this nice little cute little rundown every morning,
yes.
See, it's got like all these topics on it.
Yes.
And I don't know, I want to get to them.
I understand.
Quit messing around, David.
Your own show.
I wasn't ripping you. We need to get a theme on that, though. We need to get a theme and some production. We need to find a way to highlight
that more.
Just a record
scratch.
And then, like, and then have the voice guy come on and say, former athlete splaining. Dun, 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 and then break that out. Scott Moak was killing. He was subtweeting yesterday. You don't even know.
I didn't.
Subtweeting yesterday on
Uh-oh.
On the Twitter after it was.
God, I don't want to throw all my social media in the trash.
It was some sort of stats or whatever. And I threw something out there, and Moat gets on. And he's like, well, your stats are cute, Dave. Obviously, for somebody who never played the game.
Because of yesterday, our conversation.
Exactly. And then, you know, he's trying to cause trouble, Katie. I didn't bite on it.
Like stirring, I said, don't start nothing, won't be nothing.
Okay. So we've got Scott Howard Cooper today, and we're going to talk about NBA awards and the playoffs and the Cavs. And just when you say the Cavs are fine, then they're not, and then they're fine, and then they're not. Eric Spoelstra is going to be a part of the show today. Not personally.
Oh, man.
We're going to have a
disappointed.
Little conversation about him. We're going to check in on Buster Posey. He hurt his head. I was at Little League practice yesterday.
Hurt his noggin.
This one kid, this little kid named Landon, super cute. Little, they're such cute age. He's a cute little kid. He's not quite as big
Are
as the other kids.
Are you using
their
real names?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I mean, no, not his real name is Buffy, but we call him Landon. And he had just gone to a little mini baseball camp over the weekend. And it was a catcher's camp. He'd never played catcher before. And his parents got him Buster Posey jersey, and that made him want to be a catcher. And then he goes to catcher's camp. And then all he wanted to do yesterday was put on the gear, which usually none of the kids want to do, and play catcher.
Dude, that's like
Is
the
there
best
anything
thing
more
when
badass?
You're a kid.
I agree. They haven't discovered
Walking
that yet.
Walking around in the catcher's gear
Seriously.
Is probably the most badass thing in baseball. Mm-hmm.
I think that...
At least when you're a kid.
In their minds, they don't want to wear the catcher's gear because they want
to
run around and do...
You get to wear the cool glove, too.
I know.
That was like...
He figured it out.
Seriously, after T-ball, that was the goal.
And in the camp, apparently, they had taught him that the last warm-up pitch, the catcher gets to flip off his mask and say, down
absolutely.
On two!
Yeah, absolutely. Oh,
so that's all he wanted to do. We were doing batting practice. All he wanted to do was chuck it, right?
Adorable.
So then we were using tennis balls because we have like 40 of them. We were just, you know, we're again trying to teach the kids not to be afraid of the ball. So we're using tennis balls and they're just raking them. And then at one point, some kid goes to throw the ball, and this kid wearing the catcher's gear was right in between. They weren't paying attention. And just takes a tennis ball from about 5 feet right off the eye. And
Head I on mean, a swivel, son.
It was so bad. Like, it was so hard. There were some tears going, and, you know, and the kid was upset too. The whole thing was happening. And it
Don't
was just.
Did you teach these kids there's no crying in baseball?
Well, he tried. He was trying to man up, but man, he took the ball right in the eye. And then so it was, we started to do the thing where, hey, did you. This was how I was trying to make him feel better. I was like, "Did you know Buster Posey got hit in the head today and he had to leave the game? You got your Buster Posey uniform on. You have a black eye just like Buster Posey." And it worked. It worked.
Oh, perfect.
It worked. Thank you, Buster Posey. Thank you, Buster, for your possible future CTE in helping this little kid not, you know.
Listen, if you could save one kid, your brain's worth
I
the
think
sacrifice.
So. I mean, catcher's a pretty dangerous spot. Here's what else happened yesterday. I have all these notes because I had things go on. And then it also occurred to me, too, whenever we start this show, I always end up defaulting to my dumb life.
Mm, I agree.
Anybody else have anything go on yesterday? I mean, it's always, you know, I just kind of do it. I have a nervous
Some of
tick.
Us like to keep things private.
Okay, so I got home. So I got home, and my kids are out spring break. I get home. Because there's like an hour window when my wife leaves and when I arrive home. And the kids are old enough now where we're letting them stay. So I get home and my daughter is right there at the door like a dog. Like whenever the car pulls up, she's at the door, at the window. It's like she's looking out the window the whole time someone's gone. She's opening up the door. And she promptly lets me know. She's very excited. There's been a power outage in the neighborhood.
Yes.
And nobody's been able to, you know, everything's off, right?
Oh, my gosh.
So we had some power outage in the neighborhood. And usually these things pass
was she playing her
pretty
video
quickly.
Game at
yeah,
the time,
you know, they had
really
Minecraft and the laptops and, you know, the techno kids, right? So we went outside and goofed around in the yard. And, hey, kids, outdoors, it's a thing. And did all that. And then I go back in and it's like an hour and a half later, power's still not back on, right? So I'm like, Jesus, what is going on?
Oh,
so
did I call, you not pay your bill?
So I call Smud, right? And I tell him, like, hey, how long till the power outage is over? And they're like, well, there's no power outage.
What are you talking
about?
You
didn't pay your bill.
Oh, my God.
No. Didn't pay the bill. Like, listen, everybody has, I'm sure, except for Katie, had a point where they didn't pay a bill and had something shut off in their life. But I don't think that's happened to me since I was, like, a late teenager or early 20s. Especially married. Like, my wife's the responsible one. She takes care of
is
most
she?
Of that. Well, Nate, apparently not. So I don't know what it was about the green or red envelopes that showed up in the mail that weren't noticed.
Here's the problem. Most people now are like paperless. So
we're not.
Sometimes your stuff goes to your junk mail folder in your email.
Here's the other thing. The power bill comes at the same time every month.
Yeah, I have a reminder set on my phone.
Every month.
I mean,
and I know people are going to be like, oh, well, why didn't you set up automatic payment? I don't like people automatically taking money out of my account if I don't know what it's going to be.
I do that for everyone.
I don't like it.
Every bill I'm responsible for is automatically debited. I pay everyone.
Well, I can't do that because I'm not responsible enough to keep my bank account full enough to do that.
Hey. You're not even responsible enough to fill out the paperwork to get automatic deposit into your account.
That's not about responsible. I just don't feel like it.
I just don't feel like it.
I had to call and pay
the thing.
Who
wants their money automatically put in their account?
I had to pay $25 for some connection fee, which involved me going out to the box and pressing a black button.
Well, now you know for the next time.
Then they wanted a $250 deposit on top of that.
Yeah, because now you're a delinquent.
Apparently.
You're a delinquent.
I got out of it, but it was like, this is your last chance. I just couldn't believe my power. So then I had to explain to the kids. I go back inside, and Avery's like, well, did you find out about the power outage? And I said, yeah, they should have it restored in a few. Whole neighborhood's out. I want my kids knowing that their parents are degenerates. All right, Morning Brew is next. Buster Posey got hit in the head, the Cavs. And, hey, a couple of Niners got a little vocal on Colin Kaepernick, too. We'll hit that in the show as well. Stay tuned. 3 minutes from now on The Drive. We get started next. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Hey, we're back. Hey, Matt. Good question as to where Katie and Dave are, but we're going to go ahead and just run this out here. Good. You guys want to do a show?
No.
All right. Well, here you go.
Hi.
In all fairness, Pat came to talk to us.
Pat came outside.
He had a story for us.
Okay, so what did we miss? Did we do the rejoin? Did we do Morning Brew?
Are you done, Nate?
Have we done anything yet? Because all I'm hearing is silence. Matt, are we ready? The Kings, the Suns, the battle for...
Something.
For listen, I said it at the beginning of the show. This is a good night to go. I've been more than honest about the Kings this year and how I felt about a lot of their decisions. I will say this. One thing you'll never hear me complain about. I will never complain about the business ops and Chris Granger and that whole crew and everything they do. And I will never, you'll never hear me say a bad word about game ops, entertainment, taking care of fans, all of that. And tonight's one of those nights. If you have a chance to go out, listen, the game's going to be crap. Okay.
So here's the thing, though. I don't agree with you because...
Okay, the game's going to be amazing.
No, I'm basing this off of, and I'm not having, like, King's goggles on here. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of these games recently have been crap. I mean, they've been close games. The guys play hard. You can't argue with the fact that they go out and compete and play hard, and they're fun to watch.
Okay. I mean, I can't really argue with that.
A lot of your stuff is based on, because they've won a lot recently, and you don't like that.
No.
So your point of
Lost
view is so tainted by, you know,
did you think
what
the game against the Rockets was a good game? I'm asking.
No, but they haven't all been. But they, even before that, they weren't all good.
No, but I'm talking about Kings and Suns.
But the last time we played the Suns, it was a good game.
Sure.
The time before that, it was a good game. And this is one of the... I think that there's something to want to go and watch, kind of like the Lakers game, right? That was a close game. It was good. But those are two teams, the Lakers and the Kings, that here in the next few years, they're going to be really good games to watch because they've got young talent and it's competitive. And it's the same thing with the Suns. These are two different games that you're seeing like, okay, in a few years, these are going to be like serious rivalries.
Nate, that aside,
I'll bet that in a few years neither of these teams are in the playoffs. I mean, I love Devin Booker and I want to believe that the Kings have great talent ahead of them. I want to believe you're right, Katie, but God, I mean, this is just such
an
utterly...
You guys are so broken as fans.
Like, this is such an utterly meaningless game. I hope it's close. I do.
Sure.
I think it probably will be because they seem to match up with each other well.
Yeah.
But
It was Alex Lynn in that group that Scal dropped, what was it, like 17 in the fourth quarter Phoenix?
What did it end up being in the fourth
quarter?
Well, then
Devin Booker had the walk-off.
17 or 20.
He had the buzzer beater earlier this year as well on our floor. Mm-hmm. I just look at the standings right now. The Kings are tied with the T-Wolves with 49 losses, 31-49. The Mavs right behind them at 48. The Kings end up winning tonight to go to 32-49. It could cost them as much as three spots in the draft.
So why not? Do it.
And the Suns, I mean, they're 1.5 ahead of the Lakers, so odds are probably nothing's going to happen.
And I want to say this is their last game tonight, too.
The Suns' last game?
Yeah.
I don't think there's that many teams that play Wednesday.
Oh, wow, it is.
Yeah,
they played 71.
It is their game.
Wow.
Yeah, like it's their last game tonight.
That's good knowledge right there.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. That's you, girly.
I know it is. So I think the question here is, it's kind of been a battle back and forth, and I don't think anyone thought it was going to be at the beginning of the season. Everyone assumes that LeBron and the Cavs are going to be the top seed coming out of the East no matter what. And the Celtics took over for a while, then the Cavs regained and kind of have been there since, like, the last month. And now here go the Celtics. And LeBron and Kyrie Irving and Tristan Thompson, all those three guys were out of the game last night that they lost against the Heat in overtime. Do you guys think that it matters for the Cavs? Or are they just one of those teams in the playoffs because you have a LeBron? That it doesn't matter. You don't need the home court advantage necessarily to that degree.
That one. Yeah, the latter.
Yeah, you don't think it matters.
No, I really don't. I mean, it's good. It's a good story, like, for Isaiah Thomas and the Celtics to win their division and get the top seed, but I think in a way it gives them
good momentum and just, like, it's more of a confidence thing for them.
Right. It makes me look forward to the Eastern Conference Finals more than I might have otherwise. But beyond that, I just don't see a world where Isaiah Thomas's team beats LeBron James's team in a playoff series.
What about between Toronto and Washington? I mean, those four teams are all, you know, Washington
stacked
is fourth
up.
Place right now, and they're three games back. So it's that they're all a game back of each other if you go down the standings. So I think the Eastern Conference playoffs in general are going to be way more exciting this year than they have been in a while.
I agree they'll be exciting. I don't see, barring a massive injury, anybody beating the Cavaliers four times out of seven. I just don't. I have a major problem seeing that. I don't see the Celtics doing it, the Raptors, the Wizards. I'll tell you this much. There is one very interesting thing left. The Bulls and the Heat both tied at 40-41. I think the Bulls actually control their own destiny there. But what a good job, not only that Eric Spoelstra's done, and more on him later, but how about, I mean, we give Fred Hoiberg a little credit here in the sense that somehow that team has stuck around, and I think there's been the Kings, the Knicks, and the Bulls have had the most drama this year. And here they are with a chance to make the playoffs, controlling their own destiny.
Fred Hoiberg's toughest opponent has been his point guard.
Well, his general manager, too.
Well, yeah.
All right, moving on. Mm-hmm.
Who is that guy they're talking about? The jobless Colin Kaepernick is some of his former teammates, Navarro Bowman, among them, coming out and saying yesterday they're in shock that he hasn't been able to find a job. So
it's
there you go.
Interesting what Kyle Shanahan said, and you can blow this off or not. He said, I think he basically said he should have a job, but part of the reason maybe he doesn't, beyond the obvious, is that his playing style is the type where teams feel like they have to, in order to maximize and build their team around him. I don't know. I still find it hard to believe that Colin Kaepernick's going to be playing in the freaking CFL or something next year, though. If Colin Kaepernick played in the CFL, I think he might be the greatest Canadian Football League player ever. Like, seriously.
But if it comes down to teams thinking, there's not a starting job, like, not accounted for right now, is there?
Houston, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Denver,
that whole thing.
There are at least half a dozen teams that
their starting quarterback as of right now, and of course this is April, isn't anything to really write home about. But it kind of blows my mind that you can have a player of his caliber that, yes, maybe his style is different than your team, but he can't even get someone to be interested in signing him as a backup quarterback right now. And those guys may never even touch the field for the whole season. But if they do, don't you at least want someone that's been there, done that, been a starter, been, you know, playoff success, all of that? Doesn't that make a little bit more sense than signing Joe Blow from, you know, the 50th, 100th pick out of Miami or whatever it is? That
hey,
makes
hey,
don't that
not,
makes
if he's
no
not gonna
sense.
Fall in line, it doesn't make sense.
Oh, and devil's advocate, we'll get into this more later,
that's,
I'm sure.
That,
but
that's the argument, that you blew it. There is no argument for it.
Well, sure. Let me play devil's advocate. I'm an owner. He's probably barely, as you just said, Katie, going to step on the field. Do I want to deal with the media circus for a guy that's really going to barely step on the field? I want to do that?
You look at a team like the
media
Browns
circus.
Who can't get anyone to come to their games
you
anyway.
Don't, both,
wouldn't you rather have the media and, there for that than nothing at all?
How much money do you have to have and how many assets do you have to own to sack up and stand in front of the media and take it on yourself?
Apparently,
and say,
like,
this
hey,
isn't
the
a distraction, guys. I'm sorry. We don't care. You shouldn't. Ask
we
them about
win.
It. I've got a bunch of grown men on my roster that can handle questions and they can handle that stuff and still go out and kick ass on Sunday.
Maybe one team in the NFL that has that sack, and I don't think they're going to put Colin Kaepernick in with Garoppolo and Brady. That's probably one team in the NFL. More on this at 7:30. Up next, Buster Posey's status got hit in the head yesterday, and how about those Oakland Athletics? Somebody stopped them. A very emotional day in Kansas City, but the A's come away with the win. We'll talk about that next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHTK. Welcome back in. 7:35. Hey, don't forget, we got two more pair of passes to go see Grant and Doug, Wingstop Soundstage, is Thursday, 2:30 p.m. You see them do their show, and you also get to visit with Garrett Temple, who will be there as well, which is pretty darned cool. I'll tell you what, say what you want about the Kings this year, and you can say a lot of things about the Kings this year, but God dang, I like Garrett Temple, and I like Anthony Tolliver. They have added some things this year that do make me a little bit excited for next year. People mistake me being upset with the team this year as like, oh, the Kings are stupid. Well, no, I've moved on to next year. About 2 months ago, I moved on to the draft, the lottery, and next year.
Just been playing out the string.
Pretty much.
I hope those guys are around for if and when this team is good, because those are the type of players that you can't have a good team without players like that. Mm-hmm. You just need a star here or there.
Can't have a good team without players like Matt Moore, who can swing the bat. Well, there you go. For the second straight start, if you go back to last year at AT&T Park, Matt Moore hands off the bullpen. A fine, fine situation. Brandon Crawford added in. So there you go.
Good job, everybody.
Giants win. Buster Posey hit in the head. Had the helmet on, but hit in the head. Taken out of the game. Precautionary. Bruce Bochy said they're going to keep an eye on him. There you go.
He wasn't diagnosed with a concussion. He left of his own volition.
You worry.
I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, it is a good thing. You worry.
I still hate that he's a catcher, and I'm always going to.
I agree, but I also think this. I think that people like you and me, you know, he played shortstop at Florida State. The guy knows how to field no matter where you put him. I think guys like you and me that want to see him at first base or somewhere else, because 100% of the time when a catcher plays catcher his whole career, the knees start leaving, the back starts hurting, and I don't want to see that.
But can't you later in their career kind of shift them?
That's what they do, but
yeah.
It still peels off.
You want to do it before,
there's
before
the decline.
He loses the pot.
Right.
Because,
yeah.
You know, you end up in a situation. It's tough because catchers, by and large, have no offensive value. Like, most catchers can't hit worth a lick. It's a lot like the shortstop position used to be. And all first basemen can hit. If you can't hit, then you're useless.
Mm-hmm.
So he's one of those guys where he's got a plus bat for a catcher. As far as first basemen go, I mean, it's decent. It's probably closer to above average than great. If he declines at all, then he's just going to be an average to below average first baseman. You've already got Brandon
Belt
there.
How long has
he
been playing now? I mean, he looks like he's 12 years old.
8 seasons, I want to say.
What year was his rookie year? Was it 2010 or 2009?
Wasn't it the first 3 years he played, except for the year he was hurt? I swear to God, I think it was.
I thought 2010, like, was his. Maybe I've got this wrong. He might have played a little bit in 2009.
2009, he did play a little bit. So yeah,
was his first full year. They won the World Series.
So
2011, he busted his leg, and then 2012 they were back, and then he won again.
So this is his eighth season. Eight season? If he played in 09, seven plus one, eight season, right? Or going into his
this
ninth.
This is his
going
ninth season.
Ninth season. Yeah. 30 years old. Hey, I think we also underrate the fact that Buster Posey is a damn good handler of pitching staffs, mm-hmm. too. So,
well, and that's the thing.
You lose
too.
That.
That's the value and, you know, why catchers are maybe the most important part.
Let me tell you something. Buster Posey, if he wants to, is, I'd say, about 10 to 15 years away from his first Manager of the Year award. Buster Posey's just going to be. You don't think,
I think he's too good.
You think he's too good to be a manager?
To be a manager.
No, I understand that point. I do. I just think he's a freaking genius on the mound. On the diamond. Yeah. He's and also he has that way about him that there's not going to be a player alive that doesn't respect him.
Right.
Yeah, it's the respect factor. And he's, you know, just super intelligent. That's,
absolutely.
Yeah, like there are guys that are great players or whatever, but there's guys that are great players and understand the game at a level that others just can't touch.
Meanwhile, Chris Davis is mashing. We got to get Ken Korak on. It's funny when you play other announcers and then you play Ken Korak and you do it like one after the other. Ken Korak just stands out.
Right.
It's just so awesome.
That's a big win for Oakland just because of the pregame events. Like
very emotional.
It's, you know, they honored Ventura and his mom came out and threw the first pitch, and that usually gives teams a leg up. You know, like the emotional factor takes it to another level, and it's a different focus, and they really want to get the win. So for Oakland to come out with that win, it's kind of sad in a way. Because you feel for the Royals and the organization.
Sure.
But you're like, you know what? We're here to win games.
Well, when you look up and the A's are 4-4. A's are 4-4. They're 500.
500.
We'll have a head.
Forget the Royals. They knocked us out of the wild card game.
Yeah,
well, that's
I know
true.
That
you beat them every chance
you
can. I know
that you're like that guy, Matt, which is fine.
Yeah, the Royals.
Hey, didn't the A's pass up on Mike Trout in the draft?
Just like a lot of teams passed up on Mike Trout in the draft, Dave.
Not the Giants. Maybe they did. I don't know. The Cleveland Cavaliers also passed on Mike Trout in the draft. We'll talk about them next. The faltering Cavs right here on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. 6:47. Time to save money on Shell gasoline. Text the word Dave to 83835 now.
Dave.
Save 25 cents off your second fill up. Cavs here in a second.
Dave's not here.
Dave's not here, man. Chris Sims is saying that old Nancy, Jim Nance, had something to do with, was at least complicit in Phil Sims being ousted. Now, I generally don't like Chris Sims.
The world's most well-known nepotism case.
Right.
He unseats Major Applewhite at Texas for no reason whatsoever. Finds his way into the NFL because he's Phil Sims' kid. And
yeah.
Somehow he's on TV.
He is.
And where he's just as mediocre as he was in college and the pros.
Well, and a colleague, technically, because they're all in.
Oh, yeah, he's great. I love Chris. It's going to be awkward when I see him at the water cooler later.
Good luck getting the cream and sugar from him in the break room. He says...
What's he going to throw it at my feet?
Well, he'd miss.
And get intercepted on the way.
He said during his...
Didn't he rupture his... Sorry, he ruptured his spleen once, I remember.
Yes, yeah, it was something goofy like that. I thought it was his spleen or appendix or some deal. He was on his podcast...
It's
probably called Pick Six. And he said, listen, I think certainly a company like CBS are going to run this by Jim Nance. So if I'm going to sit here and be honest with you, listen, Jim Nance is their guy. Hello, friends. He's kind of the face and voice of the network. He's a bigger linchpin than Phil Sims for that network. That's for sure. I would think in some degree or fashion, I'm not trying to throw Jim under the bus. But, yeah, I think he signed off on it. And I'll tell you this.
Does it matter?
I mean, to Chris Sims, it does. He's sticking up for dad. And I can't lie. If my dad was the number one color guy for CBS and he got ousted. Listen, I don't like Chris Sims.
By a guy that has no experience.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'd probably be saying stuff on my podcast, too. And I also can't necessarily – I have a hard time believing that Sean McManus or whoever's in charge of CBS Sports these days and is my boss's boss. He's a great guy. I have a hard time believing he didn't. Jim Nance had to sign off on this. So what do you do if you're Jim Nance? What's the other side of that for Chris? If you're Jim Nance, you say, no, I'm not comfortable with this?
Yeah, I mean, you wonder, there's got to be at least a chance that he wasn't. I mean, optically, I'm with you. You would think they did. This doesn't happen without his approval. But wouldn't you think that Jim Nance is smart enough to know where that puts him publicly?
No.
Because if we can sniff that out and Chris Sims can sniff that out.
Do you think it's a matter of he just doesn't care?
He might not.
Well, here's what I'd ask you, and I think this will crystallize it. Has Jim Nance shown in the past that he either A, isn't ignorant, or B, cares at all about public perception of him? I mean, he's the guy that narked out, one of the guys that narked out Tiger Woods years ago. Like
Jim For Nance, what?
It was kind of like the Lexi Thompson thing. It was what was it? With Tiger, he misplayed some shot. It was one of those like people call in that are watching
like
on TV. Well, Nance was kind of tacitly involved in that whole thing. And then, you know,
it's for the honor of the game, Dave.
Jim's divorce, too, was made way public. It was something like
a little too public.
Too public. I think it was what, like $300,000 a month he has to give to his wife, like in perpetuity or some ridiculous number, of which everybody, at least in this business, was like, dang, he can afford to do that.
I know, right?
What the heck? But he is the face of CBS Sports. There's no doubt about that. He's the most powerful non-executive at CBS Sports, I would imagine. I don't think there's anybody else ahead of him,
right?
Much like Joe Buck is for Fox and whoever the hell is for other networks that I can't think of right now. But everybody's got one.
Bob Costas.
Costas would be a good one, I think, for NBC. You're absolutely right. Who would ABC's guys be? God, what do they even
Why
do?
Why am I drawing a Breen? Right?
Oh, NBA? Yeah, because of basketball. Yeah, but do you really? Well,
they don't air that many
no,
games.
I don't know.
Yeah, but ABC's ESPN, too.
Right,
so.
And so there's not
Berman?
Really a...
Well, and ESPN's firing everybody.
I don't know. I was going to say, I don't know if there are sacred cows around them anymore.
Don't
yeah.
And Patrick's gone. Olerman's gone.
Berman chose to retire. I don't either.
I think Doris Burke is the most safe person at ESPN.
You might be right. I mean, honestly.
I really do.
You might be right. So that's still happening. It's... Now you wonder what that's going to do, not just for Chris Sims' future at CBS, but also Phil Sims' future at CBS, if, you know, the kid's going out and saying that stuff on his podcast. Mm-hmm. The Cleveland Cavaliers lost yet again. Giving
Third
up
straight.
Yeah, and giving up. And we were just, you know, I was just saying, what was it, Monday? I was like, they're fine. Yeah, right. We were worried about Cleveland. Well, here you go. Cleveland is almost assuredly going to be the 2 seed in this whole deal. They lost to the Heat last night, who are still playing for something, that's for sure. They're in that virtual tie. Well, it is actually a tie with the Bulls, but I think the Bulls have the tiebreaker in this one. 124-121. The Heat outscore. This is overtime again. You remember they were up, what, 26 at one point, 27 on the Hawks, lost in overtime. The Heat outscore the Cavs 28-17 in the fourth quarter to force it to overtime, where they won by 3. And here you go. People worried about the Cavs.
Nobody played, though.
Exactly. LeBron did not play. Kyrie Irving did not play.
But they just lost twice in a row to Atlanta, and in games when Kyrie had 45, LeBron had 27. I mean, everyone played in the 2 games against Atlanta, and it almost makes me wonder if this is a thing where, yeah, they sat everyone out for injuries. It was like an ankle thing for LeBron, knee tendonitis for Kyrie, which is like, okay, it's been on the injury report in the past, so you're safe to put it down because you can list a player as questionable or probable and have them on the injury report, and it's just really basically covering your tracks. But I'm trying to figure out if this is a thing where you'd rather Miami be in the playoffs than the Bulls. And I'm going back. I know they've lost.
What do you mean by rather?
Like, if you're going to face one or the other.
You're talking about the okay.
Yeah. If that's, because I've gone back through the season so far, 3 losses to the Bulls for the Cavs. I'm trying to find the other, all 4 losses.
I'd almost rather have the Bulls.
They went 0-4 against the Bulls this season.
They've lost all 4 to the Bulls?
They lost all 4 to the
Bulls. I still almost rather. I don't want to go up against the Bulls.
In a playoff series?
Yeah.
Right. I'm with you. Going back to Miami.
Guy who coached LeBron James for years.
Right. Eric Spoelstra. And
but they've played well against Miami this season. They have not played well against the Bulls. So that makes me question the sitting out of 3 of your stars.
I just don't know what's going to matter either way in the first round.
I mean, they play Toronto in the last game. And they own that series. I mean, they're looking for a series sweep.
The other way to look at it is that even if you're right, it won't matter because they cost themselves the 1 seed and they're going to be playing Indiana. And it doesn't matter who gets the 8 seed. They're not going to see them.
That's a good point right there, 2-7. You're absolutely right. Should they?
Or is it one of those things? Well, and you never know how how series are going to work out, but also, okay, if they were to advance through the playoffs,
yeah.
Would we rather play the Bulls or would we rather play Miami at that point?
Sure.
If it were to go where, okay, yeah, they might be the eighth seed, but what if they knock off Boston?
Rodney McGruder had 28 minutes for the Heat yesterday in a win.
Who?
McGruder! 28, exactly. He started
Isn't that
for them.
Something about the grassy knoll? And,
Rodney?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Magruder
film. The Magruder film?
Yeah, yes, that's exactly what it was. The Magruder film. We'll take a break when we get back. The Kings in Phoenix tonight. The home finale for Sacramento. We'll share memories of the seasons.
Yes.
Your... Tell you this.
Yeah, really, do you have favorite? Summer. Like, are there some that stick out to you?
Oh, there's one that sticks out to me in particular. That was the year we all thought they were going to Seattle, that final game.
And, no, I'm talking about this season.
Oh, do I have a favorite memory of this season?
Yeah.
Yeah, in 2 days. That'll be my favorite memory this season. It'll be in 2 days when that final buzzer hits. I can give a middle finger to 2017. See you later. Exactly. I think this is the longest stretch I've gone without going to a Kings game since I was like 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know.
And they got here.
There's an overage of popcorn at the arena.
Yeah, you
like
see?
You've never seen before.
Popcorn sales down 96% at Gold Wud Center. We'll
you
take
don't
a break.
Pay for popcorn.
Come back. I most certainly do. At the one place on the concourse you can get it with butter. Whole Bank Arena, state of the art. There's one place on the concourse you can get it with popcorn.
Well, you're not going to get your
with butter.
Green card or whatever it is.
Yeah, the environmental
yes.
thing? Yeah, exactly. Farm to fork popcorn or whatever they're doing. We'll take a break. It's the drive back in 3 minutes. Sports 1140 KHDK.